The 19th annual Twangfest Music Festival is next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Off Broadway in St. Louis. We want to welcome our guests here to talk a little more about that. Roy Kasten is a senior writer for the Riverfront Times and vice president of Twangfest. Roy, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Steve.
Lynn Cook is founder and executive director of Playing for the Cause, and we'll explain what the connection is there in just a moment. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
And Adam Reichman is a lead singer, songwriter, and guitarist for Nadine.
How's it going?
Going very well. Glad to have you here. And it's exciting for Nadine because you guys haven't really been together for a decade.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. I always kind of joke around that I lose track of time very easily. So for me, it just feels like a couple years ago. But when you look at the facts, it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Roy, Twangfest, 19 years.
Yeah, we started out in 1997. It was just a group of hardcore music fans who were having discussions about roots music and country music and what was called alternative country at the time. And we were spread out all over the country and kind of exchanging emails and chatting and decided, you know, let's get together and do a music festival. So we did it right here in St. Louis. And that was 97, did it off Broadway, and we've been doing it ever since.
So Adam and Lynn, have you been affiliated with this before?
Yeah, we played in 2003, actually. And that was at Blueberry Hills Duck Room, but now it's moved off Broadway, which is a great venue.
Well, what makes Twangfest unique? There are a lot of music festivals around.
Well, I think one of the things that makes it unique is we're all volunteers. So we have eight kind of member board of directors. We're an independent nonprofit, and we do it really for the love of the music and organize it and, you know, try to contribute to the community through, you know, music and booking shows and sharing music. And that's kind of what makes it special, I think.
And Lynn, Playing for the Cause, that's an organization that you created.
Yes. Yes. I created it. I came up with the idea in 2013, and it really kind of started getting traction in early 2015. And we do charitable gift management and philanthropic branding, which is really fancy words to say. We help musicians figure out what kind of causes they love and how they can get their fans to support them as well.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about causes, I mean, there are lots of them, or?
There are lots of them, and they can pick anything they want. We've got some form of structure where we kind of help them narrow it down, but it can be anything from animal welfare to pediatric cancer research to human rights.
And we've got a really interesting story as far as Nadine is concerned, Adam, and I want to hold off on that for just a second. But Roy, talk a little bit about the lineup, and I think I left out a day. I said Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but it's also Saturday.
It's also Saturday.
All at Off-Broadway, and you've got some headliners, and some of the names we'll recognize for sure.
Yeah, it kicks off Wednesday, June 10th, down at Off-Broadway. Our headliner is the band Cracker, and we're also going to have the band Marah from Philadelphia, and then St. Louis band Grace Basement opening things up on Wednesday night.
And what kind of music do they do?
Well, Cracker really is kind of known as an classic alternative rock band from the 90s, but they've continued to make great records through the 2000s, and they've always blended a bit of country music into their sound and had some pretty big hits over the years that people might recognize. And Marah is just a great rock and roll band rooted in great songs by Dave Belanco from Philadelphia. And then Grace Basement is led by Kevin Buckley from right here in St. Louis and a terrific multi-instrumentalist and singer and songwriter as well.
So that's Wednesday?
That's Wednesday night. Thursday, we've got a headliner, Matthew Sweet, who's known as a power pop innovator and rock musician who's produced and sung and made records for a couple of decades. He's going to be headlining. And then we've got Lily Hyatt, who's a young songwriter, actually the daughter of John Hyatt, that some folks may know. And she's got a brand new record out called Royal Blue is what it's called. And then Spectator from right here in St. Louis. They're also going to be opening up on Thursday at Off-Broadway. And then Friday, we've got Lydia Loveless co-headlining with Nadine. And that's going to be pretty special on Friday. And then the Trio Project opening up from here in St. Louis. And then finally, Saturday is the Bottle Rockets, also from St. Louis. They're headlining. And that is June 13th at Off-Broadway with Eric Amble and Jimbo Mathis opening up.
Out of most people, I have to admit, I've never been to Twangfest. But do you find that the people that go will go every night?
Actually, yeah, we sell four-night packages, which we call the Friends Packs, and this year we sold out. We did more than we've ever done, so there's been a great response, and then there are single-night tickets as well.
Well, Lynn and Adam, jump in there. Of all the groups we mentioned, are there any that you're particularly excited about, or maybe you've got some personal favorites?
I'm a huge Matthew Sweet fan. He's just, like, great power pop, and that's another kind of cool thing about the festival is it's called Twang Fest, but it really represents, you know, a wide range of music, a lot of great singer-songrifters.
You said power pop?
Yeah. That might be an outdated genre at this point. Who knows? We're like in a post-genre world, so I don't know exactly how to explain it, but just really good kind of catchy, hooky rock.
I'm excited for Lily Hyatt. I love the new record. I love everything her dad's ever put out. And Cracker, it's going to take me back to my college days, frankly.
Well, let's talk about Nadine for a minute, because it's quite a story. And we're so sorry, Adam, that it was just very recently, and it made the news, most people probably remember, just a few months ago, wasn't it? One of your band members passed away in an accident.
Yeah. Ann Takach, our bass player for a number of years, she passed away in a house fire. And it was just a tragedy that not only did we feel very deeply, but I think all across the St. Louis community, she's just connected to so many musicians.
So she must have known about Twang Fest and was getting ready for it with you.
Oh, yeah, and we were all so excited to play together. And, you know, when you play music with somebody, you really develop a pretty deep connection with them. So losing that's been heartbreaking, yeah.
Because how long had your group been? When did you first get together?
I mean, we played with Anne, I don't know, 7 years ago or so. For 3 or 4 years, but we toured Germany together and we toured across the United States and really had, you really get to know somebody in that context.
When that tragic event happened, for a minute, did you think, well, we can't do it now?
Yeah. Well, that was kind of our first reaction is that, well, that's kind of the end of that. But after talking to people who know her well, we were reassured that she would have wanted us to, you know, go out there and rock people, so that's what we're going to do.
So how are you going to work without her? Are you going to bring in someone else? How do you work around that, I guess?
Well, we were always sort of a little bit of a group in flux, and one of our former players played bass on the first couple records, so he's going to play her stuff. We've got Jimmy Griffin. He's the guitar player for El Monstero. A lot of people know him. He's wonderful musician as well. So with the kind of core members of the band sort of supplemented and reconfigured, we're ready to go.
Well, getting together, back together after more than a decade, is this going to be it? Or does this make you think maybe you should do more work?
TBD. I have no idea. It's certainly a lot of fun. It's fun to, you know, crank up the amps again, and just like you were saying, it's taking you back to college. This has definitely taken me back some years, so we're having a lot of fun, and we'll just kind of see what happens, I guess.
Kind of a happy, sad thing all at the same time, I bet.
Yeah, it's definitely a bittersweet moment, so it's going to be an intense night, but we're looking forward to it.
We have a recording from your group, Nadine. I'm not sure if you know what it is.
I think I do. I think this is the first song on our kind of breakout record, which was Downtown Saturday, and it's called Closer.
And that's Nadine. Lead singer and guitarist Adam Reichman is with us today. Also here, Lynn Cook and Roy Kasten. We're talking about Twang Fest, which is next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Off Broadway. Sounds pretty good.
Thanks.
Lynn, you are, as we said before, founder and executive director of Playing for a Cause, which you've linked into this whole thing to help with worthy causes in St. Louis.
Right. So we help musicians connect with a cause and invite their fans to support them as well. And Roy came to us and said, we would like to use Twang Fest to support music education organizations and to do something in memory of Anne. So we opened up grant applications. We always take grant applications, and we are supporting the Strings Attached Project.
What's that?
It's a great group out of Ferguson, actually. They work with an Episcopal church up there that works with young children to teach them American roots music and to provide them with the instruments necessary to play that. So they are the beneficiaries for three nights. And then on Thursday or Friday night, I guess, when Nadine is playing, we are supporting the Tower Grove Farmers Market. And Anne was a volunteer there, and it was something that was very close to her heart, and we're very happy to do something that she would be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Roy, how has Twang Fest changed over these 19 years? A lot, I would guess.
Well, we've moved to different venues over the years. You know, we used to do it down at the Duck Room a bunch of nights. Sometimes we had nights at the Pageant and at the Venue Plush. But we're back home four nights at Off Broadway, and we've kind of just tried to continue to book really good music and to have both headliners that people know like Cracker and the Bottle Rockets. And then also have bands from right here in St. Louis and up-and-coming artists like Lily Hyatt. And it's a really cool thing.
How do you choose the acts that you're going to feature? Do you have a committee that works like for a year before? Or?
Pretty much, yes, we do. We have a committee. Eight of us get together. We meet a number of times over the year, and we bounce ideas off each other, and we come up with a dream list, and then we whittle it down to bands that we can actually get.
And then there's a little puff of white smoke that comes out of the Shemita signal.
The touring dates for Springsteen just didn't work out this time.
No, really? Okay. Well, there's always next year. Adam, as a performer, what's unique about Twang Fest for you?
Well, for us, I mean, it's right at the kind of heart of the demographic of people who really supported our music when we were an active band. So for us, it's a big homecoming as well. So we're really looking forward to it.
And Lynn, you're not on stage at all?
Not unless
they
want
me. Arranged.
Yeah, if they want me to talk about how to give, absolutely, I can be on stage. I'm comfortable doing it. But I've been there, not 19 years, but several years. It's the kind of music I love.
It's Twang Fest, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Off-Broadway, which is on Limp in St. Louis. If you'd like more information, and tickets officially go on sale Monday, don't they?
They're on sale right now. You can go to twangfest.com and get tickets.
Or go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have links to all of that. Well, we look forward to it. Twang Fest. We want to thank Roy Kasten, who's a senior writer for the Riverfront Times and vice president of Twang Fest. Lynn Cook's been here. She's the founder and executive director of Playing for the Cause. And Adam Reichman, the lead singer and guitarist for Nadine, also one of the featured headliners for Twang Fest this year. Thank you all for being here. Have a great show.
Thank you so much.
And now commentator Nancy Kranzberg. Nancy Kranzberg shares these thoughts about the art of puppetry.
The Sheldon Art Galleries recently featured the incredibly beautiful and well-crafted marionettes of the Bob Cramer Marionette Studio. I remember way back when, about 35 years ago, having a birthday party for my daughter Lily in the studio, which is still in the same location on Laclede. Bob Cramer and Doug Felch are still performing and making these gorgeous creatures in their studio, and not only have they traveled the world, they are world famous and have brought this fame back to our St. Louis. Their studio is one of the few puppetry studios left in the country, and maybe even the world. They have repaired the original Howdy Doody doll and are known as the guys in the know when it comes to puppetry. According to Doug Felch, puppetry is a dying art form. He says originally the puppets were made of fine woods and other precious materials, and that today puppets are often shabbily put together with plastics and other everyday materials. Puppetry can be defined as any inanimate object that is brought to life in some way. According to Felch, ventriloquists have their own societies and don't belong to the puppeteers of America. The reason isn't exactly clear. Puppetry is a multidisciplined art form which includes storytelling, theater, and often includes music and dance. It's a very ancient art form. Jointed wooden figures have been carbon dated to have been around many thousands of years BCE. It has been used in almost all human societies as entertainment, in religious ceremonies and rituals, and celebrations such as carnivals. Egyptians used wire-operated wooden puppets. Ancient Greece had the oldest written records of puppetry, in which Herodotus and Xenophon were mentioned, and secret societies in Africa still are using puppetry and masking in their ceremonies. In Asia, works such as the Kama Sutra elaborate in written records on the use of puppets, and the Chinese shadow theater is still around after all these years. Japan has many forms of puppetry, including the famous baraka, which developed out of the Shinto temple rites. In Vietnam, water puppetry is unique to the region, and the list goes on and on. In more modern times, acts such as the Punch and Judy show in England can trace their roots to the 16th century Commedia dell'arte, and puppet theaters have been popular virtually all over Europe. In the United States, radio and television changed the venues for many puppet and ventriloquist acts, and the audiences became much larger. Kelly Asbury's Dummy Days says, in the mid-1950s, long before Barbie or Ken dolls, Star Wars figures or computer games, one of the big toys for a kid was a speaking doll named Jerry Mahoney. That Jerry Mahoney doll was at the top of many a child's Christmas list. Jerry joined the ranks of other dummy dolls who were big names in those days, such as Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snurd. Here's just a quick note on ventriloquism. It was originally used as a religious practice, and the word actually comes from the Latin, speak from the stomach. At the Temple of Apollo in Delphi, the priestess supposedly acted as a conduit for the Delphic oracle. Ken Kranzberg and his dummy Chauncey were used even before Kramer and Felch went into business to earn money for college. They became such a pair that they were on Ted Mack's original amateur hour. Ken is doing well, but Chauncey is not, and has to go to Bob Kramer Marionette Studio to get fixed up a bit. If you want a taste of the real McCoy and puppetry, make an appointment and have a tour or a birthday party at Bob Kramer Marionettes on Laclede. I'm Nancy Kranzberg.
Nancy Kranzberg has been involved in the arts community for some 30 years on numerous arts-related boards. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk to members of Quartango about their CD release concert, and we'll also meet the composer and librettist of Emmeline, the fourth production in Opera Theater of St. Louis's season. Then we'll take a look at this year's St. Louis Fringe Festival and join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air. He'll be discussing Missouri's dual jurisdiction program for juvenile offenders. He'll also talk to financial artifact collector Harley Spiller about his new book of fun facts about money. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, and Anya O'Connor. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and please join us next week. Tonight, so that I don't miss you.